Let us then turn in God's Word to Mark chapter 13, or Mark chapter 2, reading at verse 13 through 17. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 is our text and is our scripture reading this morning. We have been looking at the Gospel of Mark over the recent weeks, specifically as we seek to see the gospel as God brings it to us in Mark, and we will specifically then look at the purpose for which Jesus came into this world as he teaches it to us here in Mark chapter 2. Let us hear together the word of Almighty God, Mark chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 13. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. As we open God's word this morning, we are here on Christmas. And at Christmas, if you turn on the radio very long, you'll hear an old Christmas carol. Sadly, not one of the ones we've been singing this morning that are just fraught with scriptural truth, but one that's fairly light and talks about Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Why? Because if you're not good, Santa Claus won't bring you presents. Well, this is an anti-gospel. Notice that. The gospel is that we who have been bad have a Savior who has come to save us. The gospel is that he who knows better than Santa Claus ever could how bad I really am, sent his son into this world to save sinners, to save those who would believe on Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to look at as we look at God's word this morning. The Savior came to give salvation to sinners. That's the theme that we want to see as we look at God's word this morning. The Savior came to give salvation to sinners. In verses 13 through 15, we note that Jesus dined with tax collectors and sinners. And in verses 16, we notice that Jesus' care and familiarity with sinners scandalizes the spiritual leaders. And in verse 17, we see that Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. So first of all, Jesus dined with tax collectors and sinners. Notice how many times that's said in these few verses, what the Pharisees say. Why does Jesus eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And it's a prejudice that we come up with as human beings. We look around and we see, well, those people, those are people we want to talk to about the gospel, but those people, they're not the type of people we want to talk to, and we certainly wouldn't want to see them coming through the door at church. People are going to stare. These are the type of people Jesus was meeting with. These are the type of people Jesus was eating and drinking. Notice, first of all, Jesus went out to by the sea, and the multitude came to him. And they taught him. This is the first thing. Jesus taught wherever people would gather. And the multitudes came to him. This is the first thing that the religious leaders would have hated. They wanted you to come to them to get the gospel. Not that the gospel would be brought to anyone, anywhere. And Jesus sees Levi sitting in the tax office in a toll house. Not like the Keebler one either. He's sitting there to collect taxes, which were really extortion. He had a certain amount that he had to give to the Roman government, but he had the right and the authority to tell soldiers to take from whoever he wanted. And so those who collected taxes were looked down upon because they were Israelites working for the enemy of the Roman government. And Jesus is teaching nearby. Jesus is going by. And there is Levi sitting in the tax office. He has no inclination to follow, does he? And Jesus, as he walks by, says, "Follow me." God calls those we would not expect. It's not our place to worry about what the person looks like or what their history is. It is our place to be used by God to bring His gospel to sinners. Jesus puts it this way in Mark 16:15, and He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, is this because cats and dogs are going to get saved? No, He wants us to preach the gospel to anyone who will hear. The gospel is not just for the well-groomed and for whoever who might come through the door of the church on Sunday morning. The gospel is for everyone. It is for, as Jesus has them called, sinners. This is Jesus. This is, by the way, Paul uses the same language in Colossians 1:23, speaking for effect that the gospel is to go to everyone. And so the crowds are following Jesus. And yet, Levi is not one who seems to be inclined to come. We have to understand that too. God will take us out of our comfortable lives and change us and give to us salvation and change our lives. Levi, when Jesus specifically calls him, gets up and follows. He leaves his lucrative business of extorting money and he rejoices in his Savior. That's what we see in verse 15. Levi throws a celebration for the Savior and concerning his conversion. He invites his friends. Guess what kind of friends he has? Tax collectors and sinners. You've got to hear, by the way, as you hear this read, and you see this again and again, the idea that's going on in the minds of the Pharisees and of the religious people here. Sinners! And as we'll note later on, Jesus says, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so Levi throws this party. He invites his friends, these tax collectors and sinners. And these would be the judgments of the religious leaders. Sinners, sinners, sinners. Oh, they're terrible. Read what
We say again and again in the Gospels, Luke 15:2, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Luke 19:7, "But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.'" Jesus didn't come into this world to save the theologically elite, or those who have it all together, or those who have never sinned. Jesus came to this world to save any and all who come to Him in faith. For as they were many and they followed Him, these people heard Jesus' teaching, these people who were the outcasts because of what the theological leaders had made out of things. And they were shunned. And yet Jesus fellowshiped with them. He came into this world, though He was the glorious God of the universe. He came into this world and He dwelt among people like you and me. And He loved them enough to go to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And as we said, the Jesus' care and familiarity with these sinners scandalizes the leaders, the spiritual leaders. They were seeking points of attack against Jesus. We have the scribes, we have the Pharisees spending their time fighting against Jesus, condemning Him. Again and again, they seek to catch Him in His actions, His teaching, and even in His miracles. When Jesus is about to heal a man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath, we read Mark 3, verse 2, "So they watched Him closely whether or not He would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse Him." Of course, Jesus is miles ahead of them on this. And He starts by asking them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil?" And yet, there is much of this today. When we as human beings want to judge what God says, "Well, I know better than what God says here. God couldn't have created the world in 6 days. God would say to us, 'Thou shalt not commit adultery.' God wants us to be happy. And how can it be wrong if it feels so good?" And so many other things. And they say, "We don't need to think about those things. Those are for that time." When we want to put ourselves in judgment over God's Word, then we are not believers of the Word. We are judges. And these Pharisees and these scribes were ready to do that. Are we believing? Are we seeking a way around Jesus? And they asked Jesus over from time to time, but it was just there to find fault, not to believe in Him. Now some later believed. Nicodemus came to Jesus. We read that in John 3. A couple of other council members. And many came later after Jesus ascended into heaven. But if you look at the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, as we read about it in Acts, they stood very firmly against Jesus. They were sending, if you remember, Saul, who became Paul, out to bring people bound to Jerusalem because they were teaching heresy concerning who Jesus was. And why does then the Savior fellowship with tax collectors and sinners? The scribes and Pharisees were watching from afar. They wouldn't deign to enter a tax collector's house. They called the disciples over. "Come here. Why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Why? Because Jesus came to save sinners. We do not have to bring our accredited, stamped, and sealed certificate of Grossman's been perfect to heaven. No one has one. We come before our Savior, we come before our God in worship, not as those who have got it all right, We come before our God as those saved in spite of ourselves. Notice what is true about Levi here. He wasn't ready to go. Jesus had to call him. And that's true of you and me as well. That we will not come out of our sinful lives without God calling us out of our sinful lives. And so Jesus fellowships at this tax collector's house. And the disciples often were not the best media relations department for Jesus. They often got it wrong, early on especially. But we have to be careful too that we are not the ones who speak for Jesus. That we are the ones who show Jesus for who He is. That Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of man's ideas. We must witness to Jesus as He presents Himself. And so Jesus answers the question. As we said, Jesus knows more perfectly our sins than anyone ever could, even our own selves. And so even here, these Pharisees, these scribes are seeking a way to catch Jesus. And Jesus knows their thoughts and answers their questions even without being asked. And He says, those who are well have no need of a physician. These Pharisees thought they were okay. By the way, Pharisaism is the most common religion in the United States today. We all think we're okay. I'm just fine. I know what's wrong with you all. But I'm doing pretty good. No, I'm not. The problem is not that if more people were like me, we'd live in a better place. The problem is that everybody is pretty much like me, maybe better. The problem is we're all sinners. And so Jesus, of course, points straight to their problem. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician. They think they're okay. They don't think that they need to repent or to receive grace, undeserved favor from God. And Jesus is saying to them right away, if we think that we're okay, we are dead wrong. Jesus said, Luke 15:7, I say to you, likewise there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who have no need of repentance. We are not okay of ourselves. We are in need of God's grace, and we need to repent of our sins, to turn from them. And Jesus says, those who are sick are in need of a physician, not those who are well, but those who are sick. If we know that we are sick, if we accept God at His statement, and we don't have to look very far within ourselves to see that we are truly sinners. We will be driven to the Savior who offers salvation freely to all who would come to Him. There is one who saves. And it doesn't matter what our past is. It doesn't matter how bad we have been and that we continue to fail all of our life long, because God tells us that we will. We try, and we seek with all that we are to be obedient Christians, but we're going to fail. The gospel doesn't come to us and say, now, okay, you be perfect. The gospel comes to sinners and says, not only have I covered your past sins, but all of your sins, past, present, and future, are paid for. Jesus came into this world, the Savior. Repent. Believe in Jesus. Turn from your sins and you will have eternal life. Jesus said, Mark 9, 11 and 12, but go learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I desire mercy. God desires mercy. God has mercy on us. We can't sacrifice and save ourselves. There is only one Savior. There is only one way to eternal life. And Jesus came into this world, as we read, to save sinners. And I think the saddest thing I've ever encountered in my ministry was someone who was an officer in a church, but told me that he full well expected to go to hell because of how bad his sins were. I said, believe on Jesus and you don't have to fear. But so often, there's that disconnect that says, I've been so bad, Jesus can't save me. No. Only Jesus can save anyone. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am chief, 1 Timothy 1:15. Those who are sick know that they need a physician. And Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. The message last night, as we considered John the Baptizer at our Christmas program, his message was a message of repentance. Jesus' gospel is that message fulfilled with the power of the Savior and the merits of his life and his death in our place. Jesus came to save sinners, to call whoever would believe on him to eternal life. And he calls them, notice that last few words, to call sinners to repentance. We need to repent. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to confess our sins and to turn from them. Jesus said on Pentecost, when the people were cut to the heart in Acts chapter 2, they said to him, what shall we do that we may be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. We have that promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow after the Savior. Become a Christian. And repent. What is that idea of repent? We've talked about it briefly. It is turning from our sins. It is turning away from our sins. It is a change of directions. Jesus said this very clearly when he is speaking to the woman caught in adultery in John 8 verse 11. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Of course, we're not going to be that perfectly, are we? We've already talked about that. But brothers and sisters, we don't continue in sin that grace may abound, Romans 6:1. We live in thankfulness. But brothers and sisters, Jesus came into this world not to save us because we just need a little boost over the edge of heaven. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. The gift of God is what Jesus came into this world to bring. The gift of God, eternal life. Given not because we were worthy, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. And so the question is, do we believe in Santa Claus? A Jesus who gives salvation to people who are good enough? Or do we believe in the Jesus of Scripture who came to call sinners to repentance, to live and to die in the place of sinners. And praise the Lord, that's the Jesus of Scripture. Amen. Let us bow before our God and our Savior in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty and gracious God and King, we come before you in thanksgiving, and you came to save sinners. We do not need to claim our perfect righteousness, because we have none. We come before you as those who are broken and stained with sin, and those who continue to sin day by day, even with Paul, who cries out, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And we cry with him, rejoicing, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." We thank you. We praise you for the gift of your Son who came into this world, who lived and who died while we were yet sinners, while we were yet your enemies. You bought us back, and you give to us eternal life. We pray, O Lord, that as we celebrate Christmas, we would celebrate rejoicing in the Savior who came and who lived and died, who was in a manger, as we sang a while ago, among the cattle, and yet this was the King of the universe, come for our salvation. We pray these things rejoicing to pray as our Savior taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."